You know, talking about Labor Day weekend, certainly as you think back and you think what this country has done, and this message has got nothing at all to do with Labor Day, it's just kind of an intro. I thought I'd get your hopes up and then dash them real quick. But there's been a lot of labor, amen? A lot of labor that has gone into to making this country and making this nation what it is by a lot of people, and you folks have been part of that, and I appreciate that. I really do. I mean, you step back and you think about all the work that folks have done over the years, the farmers that have farmed, just about every field you can imagine. You know, we've built something, and the Lord has blessed it mightily, and the gospel has gone out from this country to every corner of the world. Amen? Amen. So as we think about, you know, as you think about that a little bit, I don't know how often that comes into your mind other than, you know, maybe at the barbecue. But I'd like to think about the labor that our Lord and Savior did for us. Amen? Open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Just basically a basic overall kind of view of Christianity. Things here this morning, there's no new hidden doctrines, nothing real strange and deep, although it is as deep as you make it when it comes to the Bible. Amen? But Luke chapter 23, take a look down in verse 32. And we're getting into the portion of scripture here where we deal with the crucifixion. And the Bible says in verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, 3 hours, the sun stopped shining. Didn't say it was cloudy, it said darkness. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Bible, for this King James Bible that you've given us, a perfect translation, a perfect book, one that we can be assured of every single word that we read, Father, even the punctuation. Lord, we're so grateful that we have something that we can go to sort out the struggles and the trials of life. We know and we're confident that it has the answers that we need to our problems. And Father, your bunch of your people have gathered here this morning, and I don't know their needs, but Father, you do. And I just pray that you would minister to each and every one of their hearts. Father, that you would give them something out of this book, something out of your word, that you would maybe strum a string that maybe hasn't been played in a long time in their heart, that they might be able to think about some spiritual things. Lord, you're a great God, and we're just so thankful for what you did some 2,000 years ago. You did a work for us that we, Father, could not have done for ourselves. And we'd just be sure to lift you up, give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come here to a passage of Scripture. Again, I say this all the time, a familiar passage of Scripture, talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he went through. And, you know, sometimes we take that a little lightly. Sometimes we don't fully, you know, realize and comprehend just what it was that Jesus Christ did to save men and women like you and me. Amen? If you will, take your Bibles and turn back to Isaiah 53 real quick. Isaiah 53. In the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, keep going. If you get to Jeremiah, you've gone too far. If you get to Ezekiel, you've gone too far. If you get those little minor prophets, you know, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, all those, you've gone too far. But Isaiah chapter 53, just wanted to read a short passage of scripture here, one we're very familiar with. It says in Isaiah 53, look down at verse 3 just for expediency's sake. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. That is, God the Father shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It says in Luke 23, the passage that we read a little bit earlier, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. There they crucified him. Now you said, like I said, a lot of people sometimes don't think much of Labor Day. We enjoy the day off, and we, you know, in our mind we kind of know what it's about, but sometimes it just gets kind of put on the back burner because it is the last big hoorah before school starts, as Brother Sean said earlier, right? We get a day off work, we get to barbecue, we get to have friends and family over and have fellowship one with another, and sometimes we just get lost in that celebration of what a holiday is all about. Not that the holiday is really anything critical in the grand scheme of things, but sometimes we do that with the Lord. Sometimes we let that same thing, we get so accustomed to doing it. I mean, when you stop and think about all the holidays and different things we have throughout the year and everything we have to celebrate, I mean, the world is after you constantly. You know, Valentine's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's Day. There's holidays everywhere. And eventually, you just kind of get saturated.
Amen.
And then they kind of take a back seat. They just kind of put them on the back burner, and you appreciate the day off, but you really can just kind of go on with life. And like I said, sometimes we do that with the Lord Jesus Christ and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we know about it in our mind, but in reality, it just kind of gets put on the back burner and we don't give it its due, I suppose, attention. And I'd just like to ask you, in fact, I kind of titled this message this morning, again, very simple message. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? And I just titled it this morning, Why Did He Die? Now, we just read through a passage of Scripture and other places we read where they took the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know how they beat him, we know how they whipped him, we know how they put that crown of thorns on his head. We know how they took that whip and just laid the flesh on his back wide open. The Bible says his visage was marred more than the sons of men. I mean, he was beaten beyond recognition. That's what he did. That's what he endured. That's what he put up with for you and for me. And sometimes we take that a little lightly. And I'd like to ask you this morning as we go along, I'd just like you to think about that simple question. Why? Why did he die? Why did he have to die? I'll tell you one of the first reasons is because you were broken.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible says, but we are all as unclean as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth and endured that cross and that suffering and that shame for a reason. It wasn't because he just had nothing better to do that particular day throughout his eternal history. The Lord Jesus Christ came down, folks, and he took on the form of a man. He lived a sinless and perfect life. And when he was 33 and a half years old, they took him to a place called Calvary, where he suffered and bled and died to pay for your sins. Why? Because you were the one that was broken, not him.
Amen.
You were the one that was broken. Not him. I don't know what your life has been like so far. I don't know if you're here without Christ this morning. I don't know if you're saved. I know most of you are saved, born again. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he is now a part of you, and this transaction that we're going to be talking about this morning has already been complete in you, and praise the Lord for that. I am thankful that each and every one of you that is saved this morning has already made that decision. But inevitably, in a crowd this size, there's probably at least one or two, if not a few more, that still struggle with that decision. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you've never been saved, if you don't know what this whole being born again, being saved thing is all about, listen, let me just ask you, what has your life been like so far? I mean, think about it. Why did he die? Well, one of the reasons he died is because you were broken.
Amen.
Not only have you had this thing that we call sin upon you from probably as long as you can remember. It started way back with Adam and Eve in the garden. We know the story, but sin, you have to admit, if you're here this morning without Christ, sin has gotten the best of you.
Amen.
Sin has gotten you into some positions and into some situations that you wished you could do all over again. And if you look back at your life, listen, you're facing a life this morning, and when you look at it, you have to admit there are some things about it that have been broken. Amen? There are some things that have been broken. There are some things in life that maybe got you to the brink of despair, maybe to that place where just everything was completely caving in, everything was falling apart, and you sat there on your pillow and you just had no clue where to go tomorrow.
Amen.
Why did Christ die? Because he knew we as mankind would be broken. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says this, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners,
Amen.
Christ died for us.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's one thing I know about your life. You've been through some pretty rough times.
Yep.
Maybe you're going through some right now. I know this. I know that if you honestly take an evaluation of yourself, you would sit back and look and say, there's some things in my life that are broken. I wish I had the answer. I got good news for you this morning.
Amen.
Jesus Christ commendeth his love towards you, and that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. You say, what is this being saved, being born again thing all about? I'll tell you what it's one of the things it's all about. It's because we, as natural human beings, are born into this world and we wind up at some point in time broken. Things don't go right. Sin enters in and we make a mess of our life. I better hurry. We'll never get to the end of this. I'll tell you another reason why he died. He died to bear your burdens. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Really? Someone with that many burdens made righteous? Somebody who's been through what all of us have been through? Somebody who's facing what you're facing made righteous? How does that work? David in Psalm 34 said, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head." I'm drowning in them, is what he said. I'm drowning in my own. This is David, King David, right? A man after God's own heart. As an heavy burden, David, the king, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the one that God chose, he said, "When I get to thinking about my iniquities, my burdens are too heavy for me to bear." Why did Jesus Christ have to die? I'll tell you why. Because you needed somebody to bear your burdens. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what kind of a load of guilt that you may have this morning. I don't know what kind of a load of shame or doubt or fear or uncertainty about what's going to happen in the future or just despair of the way life is going for you in general. I don't know what kind of things you face. I don't know what you face in your marriage, in your finances, with your children. I don't know the details for most of you about any of those things, but I know this, you're just like everyone else. And you have a burden that is on your shoulders, and that burden gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. You wonder why your knees go out when you get old. that burden of sin, that burden of guilt, that burden of shame. Listen, your body, your mind was not designed to carry that burden alone. Amen. Your body will fall apart. It's a burden you were not intended to carry. Why did Jesus Christ die? Because he knew that you had a burden that was too big for you to carry.
Amen.
And he loved you enough to do something about it.
Amen.
Now the devil would love to just keep piling things on. Why did he die? To bear your burdens. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, we read it, "All we like sheep have gone astray." 7 words describes a lifetime for some of us of misery. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us all." He died to bear my burdens. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. The Lord Jesus Christ died because he knew that we as human beings could not endure what the devil could throw at us in this life. Amen? The burdens are way too big. I'd like to say something else, and this is kind of by way just of introduction. He died. So that you would believe. John chapter 20 says, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Yes. Let me tell you something. If I told you that 2,000 years ago, there was a guy, he lived in Jerusalem, and he went down to the county courthouse one afternoon, and he paid a $10 fine for you. And because he did that, you should believe on his name. You'd look at me and go, "You are stinking nuts. Who cares? $10? 2,000 years ago? But he gave you a get out of jail. Who cares?" Why did he have to die? Because when you think about who he is and what he did, the God that made you gave his life for you.
Amen.
That means something.
Amen.
That means something. That's something that you cannot be replaced. That's something, folks, that's designed to get your attention. Like I said, all too often, sometimes we take even spiritual things, we put them on the back burner and, oh, ho-hum, not a big deal. What must that price have been for the God of the universe to die for your burdens and your sins?
Well,
that's what we're talking about. Why did he die? He died, believe it or not, so that you could have justification. In Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If you remember back there in Isaiah 53, it said this, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. You know what it is to be justified? It's to be declared innocent, righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ died. Just sit back and think about all the things that you've done in your life. Wrong.
Yes.
You know, sins. We don't like to think about those. Those are a heavy burden to bear. Who wants to be under that kind of guilt, that kind of shame? You know, you look at that stuff and you just as soon forget it. Put it away. But I got something better. Because if all you do is just try to put it on the back burner and forget about it, listen, when the right circumstances in your life come up, you'll remember again. And you will be just as guilty as you were back then. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, paid for my sins.
Amen.
And when I sit back there and circumstances in life and put me in the same scenario, circumstances in life come up and some of those things get triggered in the back of my memory and I think about it, instead of being guilty, I am forgiven.
Yes.
Amen. Instead of having to relive that shame, I am justified.
Yes.
Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I can't erase those things. I can't erase my history. You can't erase yours either. But I tell you, somebody who can forgive it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he have to die? He had to die because you needed some way to be justified.
Amen.
You needed some way to be have those things cleansed, washed away. And when he did that, he gave you his righteousness. See, the Lord Jesus Christ hung there on that cross and paid the price, shed his blood, died, actually went to hell to pay for your sin. Somehow or another paid an eternity in hell during those 3 days because God's timeless. You ask, how did he do it? I don't know, but he did. He somehow or another, when he got off that cross, they put him in the grave. He went down to hell. Somehow or another, suffered and paid an eternity in hell for me.
Amen.
And then he rose again the third day. And then he said to me, I will give you my righteousness. When I didn't deserve it.
Amen.
You say, why did he die? He died to pay for your sins. But he died to give you his righteousness.
Amen.
There's a lot more to it than just ho-hum, you know, it's Easter, he arose. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Yeah, yeah, ho-hum. Oh, let's move on to the next song. Come on, we're going to, you know, let's have chocolate. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered and paid the price for sins that I can't even remember doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And a lot of them I probably don't want to remember. I'm glad I got a bad memory. I'm glad the Lord forgets things, right? And what he does with those sins, he puts them as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says he remembers them no more. He justifies me. He gives me his righteousness. He makes me clean. He makes me pure. He makes me holy. I know that's hard to believe looking at me. But he does it for you too. Say, why did he die? Because he knew I needed something far, of far greater value than just trying to be a good person on my own. Why did he die? He died so you would believe. So you would get justification. So you would get righteousness. Hey, listen, what happened when he died? You know what he did? He established a New Testament. Right? Just basic, simple Christianity stuff. What is this all about? What happened with this Jesus Christ character who died some 2,000 years ago? Listen, he established a New Testament. It says in Hebrews, it says, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be a necessity of the death of the testator. He had to die.
Yes.
To establish a New Testament, he had to die.
Amen.
For the testament is in force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. I remember my grandfather, he had his will all set up, and there was a lot of things that happened in the family, and unfortunately it was a very, dysfunctional type family on my mother's side, and he had the will set up and everything was, all set. And there was a lot of things that happened over a long period of time. We're talking 10, 20 years. You know what my grandfather did? He went in and he changed his will. He changed his will. It didn't make any difference until he died. But when he died, my mother, who happens to be a nurse, who sat by his bedside for 10 plus years taking care of him, inherited the property. Listen, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, in effect, has done for you and me. That Old Testament was in force. That Old Testament, the law, that Old Testament was a set of rules and regulations that people tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to fulfill, and inevitably they failed every single time. They couldn't do it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he have to die? He went and he erased that old will, and he created what we call a New Testament.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And then he died. And guess what's in force now?
Yes.
The new one.
I
am so thankful. You say, why did he have to die? Listen, he's worried about my burdens, right? He's worried about what I'm going through. But he died and created a New Testament so that things were completely rearranged from how they had been before. Listen, if you're not saved here this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have that New Testament. If you're not saved here this morning, listen, I don't say this to be mean, just as an awareness. You're operating under the Old Testament.
That's right.
If my grandfather had gone down to the lawyer's office and drafted a new will and gotten all the paperwork signed and everything and didn't tell anybody, or that will got lost, or nobody knew about it, guess what all the descendants would have been under, operating under? The old will. Why? Because they didn't know there was a new one. That's what happens. Right?
Amen.
Same with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a bunch of people in the world today, they've heard about this Jesus Christ thing, but they've never really pursued him. They've never really tried to figure out what it's all about. They've never made what he did on the cross personal to them. It's like the New Testament was never written. It's like you have this great benefit coming to you, and you just ignore it because you're unaware of its existence. The Lord Jesus Christ died to give us a New Testament. Listen, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you're under the old law. And you're going to fail just like everybody else. It's real simple. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There, how'd you do that one? That's only one. I got 9 more to go if you want. If you really want to get detailed. Can't do it. You're under the same old problems with the same old sin, same old cycle, same old destiny, spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus Christ isn't your Father. And you're still under the curse that goes all the way back to Adam. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again, you're not a partaker of the New Testament. It's available if you want it. But you haven't made it yours yet.
Amen.
You don't even know about it. What happened when he died? Besides the last will and testament? Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ died to make you a new creature. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're lost here this morning, listen, you are still the same old person. I'm not talking about chronologically in age. The same old person you've always been. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you may try to turn over a new leaf. You may try to dress up and become respectable. You may try and rearrange your life and change your life in such a manner that people will look at you on the outside and think, oh, there's been a real big change. But on the inside, you know what? You're still the same. The same old things haunt you. The same old things that you struggle with. The same old things rear their ugly head. You have the same old battles, the same old defeats. And you know good and well on the inside, nothing has changed.
It's true.
Why did Jesus Christ have to die? I'll tell you why. Because when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, He makes them a new creature.
Amen.
And while you're saved, you may still have some of the same old struggles. They don't affect you like they did before.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, you know, if you went bankrupt in March, in April you got saved, you still went bankrupt in March. You still got to deal with that issue, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But your heart and your attitude and your spirit certainly can change.
Amen.
The Lord gets in there and the Lord creates a new creature. Why did He have to die? Because you needed to be made into something brand new.
Amen.
Something brand new. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the promise, from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I quit being an alien. I quit being a stranger.
Amen.
I didn't have to worry about a wall at the border. You'll get it in a second. My great-grandmother didn't have to worry about the wall when she came over from Mexico. But she had a green card. So when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer an alien. You're no longer a stranger. You're made a new creature. If you're saved here this morning, listen, we should live like a new creature, right?
Amen.
You have a new heart, a new spirit, a new charge, a new reason for living. You know what Romans 8 says? It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what you get when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You get a new beginning. And sometimes, like holidays, we kind of put what that really means in the background and go about with the party. You get a new beginning. But you have to desire it. You have to be kind of tired of with the old man before you can put on the new. You get a new beginning. And then finally, folks, finally, we'll wrap things up here. I know we have Fellowship Sunday coming up, and I'm looking forward to that. But finally, why did Jesus have to die? One of the things that we get is we get a new home. Now, I don't know what you think of when I say the word home. For some, maybe it's not a good memory. Maybe it's not a good thought. Maybe there's a lot of turmoil. For others, maybe it's just a great place. A place where you can go, kick back, relax. It's ideal. It's exactly what you want. Listen, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you is he gave you, if you'll accept him as your Savior, a new home in eternity. That holy city comes down. John sees it in the book of Revelation. That holy city comes down out of heaven. Man, it is like 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's a huge city. He said in John 14, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Can you imagine a city 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles? I mean, this great big huge thing full of mansions. He gives us a new home. I don't know what kind of home you came from. I don't know what kind of home you have to go back to this afternoon. But I know this. I know when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, whatever happens down here on this earth, I've got something waiting for me that is far better than anything I could have ever imagined.
That's true.
Especially when you consider the alternative. Right? Especially when you consider the alternative. I'm thinking of this home. The alternative, the Bible says, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Listen, why did Jesus Christ die? He died because I needed a Savior. Now, I don't know where you stand here this morning. Like I said, in a crowd this size, I'm sure most of you are saved. But there's probably at least one or two of you that have never truly trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And today, coming to church probably meant just about as much as a memorial holiday. Oh yeah, great, I get some time off. Maybe spend a little time with the family. Right? Your focus is on something completely different. And yet, the whole reason why we have this book, the whole reason why we're here, is to find out about a God who loved us enough to die for us. Don't let that escape. Don't let that escape because your mind is off on something else. Again, very simple, basic Christianity. Adam and Eve sinned. That sin was passed on to all mankind. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he died and bled 2,000 years ago to pay the price for your sins. And he just waits to give you a new home.
Yes.
To make you a new creature. Because he instituted a new testament.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Don't let those new things pass you by today. If you're lost here this morning, I would encourage you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. I would encourage you to come down to the altar, spend a little bit of time in prayer, and just say, Lord, I know that you died to pay for my sin. When I think of my sin, it means something to me. Maybe nobody else in this building knows what I've done. And I hope they don't. But you do. And I'm asking you to save me because I have no way to save myself. I would invite you to do that. Christian, it's just a time to sit back and remember what the Lord has really done for you. Remember what it was like when those sins were lifted? When those burdens were taken care of? Remember what it was like when those sins were gone. That's what he's done for us. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you came to this earth and you died. And it was for a reason. And that reason was because that was the only way our sins could be taken care of. Now, Lord, I don't know the individual state of each person here this morning, but I do pray that if there's somebody here that's not saved, that you would prick their conscience where they sit right now. That you'd help them to realize that the price you paid really shouldn't just be ignored. It was a great price. It was done out of love. But, Father, it is ultimately up to each and every individual to accept it. If they don't accept it, nothing new happens. They're still the same old person with the same old dead spirit, with the same old sin, with the same old problems. And unfortunately, they're still headed to the same old place. But Father, if they want something new, you've offered it. You died so that they could have something new. I pray that they would accept it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.